TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and I am so excited to introduce you to this week's conversation. On this episode, we have the privilege of hearing from Anne Marie Ronsman, who is the president and CEO of CASA Child Advocates of Montgomery County in Montgomery, Texas. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and Anne Marie tells us all about the role of CASA and what's unique about CASA Child Advocates of Montgomery County and their implementation journey of TBRI. We also chat with Anne Marie about her own journey with TBRI as a parent, and what organizational implementation has looked like for CASA. Whether you are a parent or a practitioner or just want to learn more about the great work of CASA, there is something for you in this episode. So without any further delay, here is our host, Sarah Mercado and Anne Marie Ronsman.
Welcome to the podcast, Anne Marie. How are you today?
I am good. How are you, Sarah?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to just kick us off? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and who you work for?
Sure. So I'm the president and CEO of CASA Child Advocates of Montgomery County. I have been in this role a little bit more than a year. I'm actually a registered nurse by background and have a background in teaching nursing and hospital administration. And I also am a mom to five. Three of whom are adopted. And so that's kind of how I became acquainted originally with TBRI. And I came to CASA about 7 years ago as a volunteer and was a volunteer for several years and then came into the training director role. I originally thought I would take a little sidestep from teaching nursing and do something, you know, a little bit different and didn't intend to still be here. But it's a wonderful organization, and it's been a great gift to get to lead it over the last year or so.
My goodness. So I have heard about you. We haven't actually been in the same place at the same time that I'm aware of, maybe practitioner training. But I feel like I have heard about you like you've been with CASA for a million years. So I'm just so fascinated that it's 1 year and you have, you know, you're a nurse. In your, I guess, other career. So that is really, really exciting. When you got to know TBRI, when you were in the throes of parenting or newly parenting your kids, was that a big shift for you?
It was a huge shift. And it's actually one of the things I think that makes me the truest form of believer, because I started out as a skeptic. We have five children, three of whom are adopted, from China. And, when we brought our middle daughter home, she weighed 14 pounds at 19 months, could not hold her head up, had cleft lip and palate and had pretty much laid in a crib for 19 months and, crinkled a piece of paper and looked out through the slats. And when she was handed to us, I knew we were starting on a journey. I didn't know what that was, but you know, knew that we were starting on a journey and brought her home and fattened her up and got her, you know, more developmentally on track. And she would just have really, really epic meltdowns that would last for long, long periods of time. She didn't like certain clothing. She didn't like certain food. And this could all escalate. And, you know, we had two other children at home at the time. I'm a nurse. I thought, you know, surely there's something that I'm not doing here? What, like, what is it? Why can't I manage this issue? And, you know, was very my way or the highway about it. You know, you can lay there and you let me know when you're done. And, she could go on for a very, very long time and really was, disrupting our home. And so actually at this time, so that daughter is now, 16, at that time, TBRI was not a thing. There was no connected parent book. There were, adoptive parents and children that went to summer camps with Dr. Purvis and would come home and would put on their private blogs, or everybody will laugh, not Facebook, but Yahoo groups, adoptive parent Yahoo groups, that would share the strategies. And I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I had ever heard, that these strategies would help, you know, help the situation. But when you get tired enough, you'll try anything. And so when we implemented the strategies in our home, within about 24 hours, we had a different kid. And
wow.
You know, when she got hungry, her brain was flipping into fight or flight. And I did not pick up on that at all. And so that was kind of the first strategy that we used, that we became aware of. And so used that in my home. And then when I came into CASA in the training director role, started to weave TBRI into our training curriculum for all of our volunteers. And it's just kind of grown from there.
Goodness gracious. It is unbelievable, because I will tell you, if you want to find somebody who's resourceful, you find an adoptive parent, because they have Yahoo groups, and you know what I mean? Like, it's so fun to hear about all the different ways people come to know TBRI. And I was just like you. I actually did TBRI to prove the clinical director that I was working for that it wouldn't work. So here I am. I guess we were both proven wrong. So tell us just a little bit about, you know, CASA, what CASA is, what you guys do, and then how does it fit into the bigger picture of the child welfare system?
Yeah, so CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate. So we're a little bit of a different nonprofit model. So most nonprofits have a large paid staff and they have a small group of volunteers that help the staff. We're the opposite. We have a very small paid staff of 23 and we have about 300 volunteers. So our volunteers are the ones that are going out in the community and working with the children. So in Montgomery County, we're very proud to have served 100% of the children in foster care for the last 8 years. So that means every child who comes into foster care in Montgomery County is assigned a CASA advocate. And that advocate comes on at the beginning of the case and they stay on until the case's conclusion, usually about 12 to 18 months. And they get to know the child, but also everybody involved in the child's life. So they get to know the biological parents, the extended family, you know, foster parents or kinship placement, wherever that child is placed. They get to know the teachers and the medical providers and go to court about once a quarter to, you know, share with the court what the advocate feels is in the child's best interest.
Man, it's incredible to think. I used to work in foster care and adoptions, and the thought of a kid having one person with them and the family having one person with them from beginning to the end of the case is so refreshing, because it's hard to keep people in foster care. It's hard for the professionals are often part of the transition that the kids have to deal with too. All of a sudden there's a new, you know, caseworker, case manager, or whoever floating in and out. So it's such a relief to know that there's somebody that really has their hands in the entire, every aspect of the case that's connected. So you said when you were the training director that you began the process of really bringing TBRI into the program. What did that look like? And were any of your volunteers maybe, I don't know, like you and I were, resistant to it? And how did you address those issues?
Yeah, so I started actually, we got a grant to provide the connected child to all of our advocates. And so as they were brought in and trained in CASA, that was part of their onboarding, was that. And then, you know, added some key points into our training. And we do, and we did have people that said, you know, I didn't know I was volunteering to be a therapist. You know, why are you having me read this? I mean, I thought you said I go visit the child once a month. This is more than I bargained for. And, you know, what we've said to our volunteers is we don't expect them to be experts. The only thing that we are asking of them is that they have an awareness of what childhood trauma looks like. And when they are, you know, dealing with a placement on a behavior issue or something like that, they don't need to know what the intervention should be. They just need to be able to say, I don't think this child is acting up. I think this might be trauma. And come back to CASA. And we have 6 TBRI practitioners here that then can give the volunteer further guidance or can work with, you know, the placement or family if needed. But just really helping our volunteers to have that awareness of what TBRI is, what trauma does, you know, to children's brains and bodies. And, you know, even though there's some initial resistance, I think, because it seems like a lot at first, I think overall our volunteers are very grateful to be empowered with this knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because so many times, as we all know in this system, you know, everybody enters working with children and child welfare coming from a good place, right? We want to help the kids, but sometimes that gets lost in translation. And so sometimes having a volunteer who doesn't have that professional background, sometimes they can recognize things that other people maybe can't because they're too close to it or they're too frustrated, or they've just been doing it too long.
How do you think that those volunteers are received within the community of professionals when they do recognize stuff like that? Because I think that's a really important point that they have this, I mean, really, it's a sort of untainted perspective, because those of us that have worked in the system long enough, we do tend to, I don't know, lose, or maybe we gain a little bit of an edge instead of losing it. Do you feel like the opinions of the CASAs are well respected?
Well, they are, particularly because our judge feels very strongly in CASA and in the value that CASA brings. If we did not have a judge that really supported the work that we do, I think it would be different. Mm-hmm. But we have a judge that really takes, she is trained in TBRI. She really takes what advocates say to heart. And when it comes to, you know, issues with other professionals, you know, we may be making a recommendation that CPS doesn't agree with, or the attorney at litem doesn't agree with. And that's really where the CASA staff steps in and helps to navigate getting the resources that we need, you know, for that child. Because sometimes, you know, it can be viewed as, you know, this is a busybody volunteer when really it's just an educated volunteer.
Right. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference is even, you know, 15 years ago, when I was working in foster care, sometimes it's like, oh man, how does the CASA get such a big voice? And I'll be honest, I had no idea that they interacted with every part of the case until you just said that. And I've, you know, been in and around child welfare for a long time now. And I think that's something that is really good for the professionals to know, that this is actually kind of the tie, the missing link in many ways. And keeping everybody on the same page as to what's really going on in each place and spot, because they don't have that skewed view necessarily. How do your professionals feel about TBRI, or how did they feel when you first kind of brought it in the training department under that? How was that shift for them?
Well, I think it was not received, you know, with confetti and balloons. You know, I think initially, at least, it was very much seen as CASA's initiative and something that CASA was trying to do. And our perspective in our organization was we just felt it was the right thing to do for kids. And so wherever we could get a toehold to move TBRI forward, that's what we did. And so we knocked on lots of doors that were closed. But anytime we got a little crack of light, you know, we would work with that. And I was meeting with someone today and telling them, you know, they wanted a big training with every seat full. And I said, you know, when we started, if we had one person there, that was the one person that was meant to be there, and we were going to train that one person. And so, you know, sometimes I think if you wait for all the pieces to be in place and all the buy-in to happen, you really slow or maybe stop your momentum, because just as I was a skeptic, other people are skeptics too. And the proof is in, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
Right. For sure. I think it's such a good point. And I'm one of those people that I want people to just get it. And I can become really impatient, even though I was the one that probably required the most patience around and just like, you know, allowing myself to wrestle with it and figure it out and do it and try it and the whole thing. And I really appreciate that you said, you know, if one person showed up, that's okay. That can be enough for today. And, you know, maybe that's the person that goes and tells the next 10 people, and then it grows from there. And I think from the training side of things, if we're thinking about practitioner, every single person that we have to stand in front of and train and practice TBRI with is good for us, right? Because every time somebody challenges us, we get stronger in, you know, our presentation. But wow, I mean, that's a lot of grit and determination when you're satisfied with one. I just think that's so cool.
Well, it's the right thing to do for kids, you know, and that is if that one volunteer or that one community member who's trained goes out and impacts the life of one child, then that is worth it.
Got goosebumps. It's so true. It's so true. And it's important when you said the numbers of volunteers and staff and everybody that worked for your organization, and all I could see and feel and hear was just a really big organization. And to know that really that one child is still the focus. It's not that we do this grandiose thing. It's that we over and over and over again impact the life of one kid, one family. And that's how we get into changing entire systems, is if we just keep going. So when you took over a year ago officially, I guess, and several years ago in the training department, did you begin to lead through the lens of TBRI? Was that natural for you? What does leadership look like when TBRI is your priority for the kids and families?
Well, I think it had been brought into the culture of our organization through the training of our volunteers. And bringing it into leadership, you know, was kind of the next logical step. And so, you know, we've started very small with, you know, icebreakers and connecting activities at the beginning of every meeting. We have, you know, try to do all of the things that we say that we should do for kids. So we just finished an audit with Texas CASA last week, and we had snacks and drinks and fidgets and all of those things in the room, you know, during the audit. And we try, we had some of our CPS partners here for a TBRI training, you know, last week. And we always try to feed people when they're here and, you know, make sure that the fidgets are out, and so they feel like they are being taken care of. I think COVID has been very hard on everyone. I think it's particularly hard on those that work in child welfare. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, really creating connection, you know, between staff members. We've done offsite, you know, team building type things, but always from a TBRI perspective. And all of our new staff go through our new volunteer training, so they're all brought on board with TBRI. So I think.
So can you feel it? Does it feel like, you know, sometimes you walk into an environment and you're like, oh, this feels good. Like, have you been at it long enough to where you're starting to get that feedback from the team that it's kind of living and breathing in the halls?
Well, we had the incredible opportunity to move into a new building in November. Oh. So we had been in leased shared space for a very long time. And we moved into a historic home in downtown Conroe. And so this is our first space that we own. And we put it together. We had the luxury of putting it together with TBRI in mind. So, you know, everything, all the furniture is movable. Everything is flexible. We have a TBRI coaching room, which is, it's actually two homes that we're in. We're in one large home and a smaller one. The smaller home has our training center on the bottom and then our TBRI coaching room above it. And so we were able to bring that in. We hired a mural artist who did a TBRI mural that is in the entryway of the home. And she did a fantastic job. We just gave her a few quotes and some very high level understanding of what TBRI was. And she created this really just a masterpiece, which is a wonderful way to welcome people into our organization and explain to them, you know, what this mural is about and what Dr. Purvis's work meant and why we weave it into everything we do. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we had a sensory mural painted out on our driveway. And so again, with TBRI concepts in mind. And so we have certainly children that use it, but we have staff that go out there because they need a little break. We had a police officer stop by one day and, you know, he was hopscotching and mirroring and, you know, it's just a great way to talk about the work we do and make the environment, you know, TBRI focused and TBRI friendly. And I think, you know, we continue to make strides. We're, in the process, we just finished working with a landscape designer who has really designed landscapes, you know, in children's psychiatric hospitals and in some, you know, botanical gardens and things like that. And so she's working with us to really make a space that's TBRI friendly, but also, you know, kind of whimsical and peaceful and all of those things. So that will be the next phase of our property. So we were able to really move forward our weaving of TBRI because everybody who comes in our building sees it and feels it, and that sets the tone for it.
Wow. Well, I'm going to come visit. I don't know when,
yes,
but I'm
please.
Coming to visit because I
would love
see
to
it.
Have you.
I'm going to pick up Kim on the way. We're going to come visit. When you said a TBRI coaching room, what happens in that room? What does that mean?
Well, so we were gifted a playhouse, and it was somebody that had won it at an auction, and they didn't want it, but their criteria was that it didn't go outside. That it was stored inside somewhere. And so we had always kind of had this vision of a space where we could work with caregivers and parents and children and, you know, rather than just talking about TBRI, actually interact and show them. So this little playhouse was the start of it. And, you know, once we got into this space, we've been able to expand it. So, you know, but we have all of the TBRI tools up there. So we have all of Cindy's books up there that people can check out. We have Band-Aids. We have a refrigerator for snacks and drinks. We have a small trampoline that the kids can use and some other sensory type toys. And it gives us the opportunity to watch, whether it's the caregiver and the child or the biological parent and the child, and not from a perspective of being critical, but from a perspective of here's another way that you might think about doing that or saying that. You know, I think one of the TBRI principles that we see so much is, you know, we all parent the way we were parented unless we learn something different. And for particularly our parents, but also when we're talking about kinship placements, so that extended family, Many times they're parenting exactly the way they were parented. They want to do right by this child. They just don't know where to start. And so that space is a really nice space to do that in. You know, we also work with kids outside and things like that, but that's kind of our dedicated space. We can do parent-child visits up there as long as CPS is there to supervise. So that's also nice to get those visits out of the CPS office, which sometimes has, you know, negative connotations mm-hmm. for parents and kids. So it's been a great space for us.
Man, it's just incredible. It gives me goosebumps to think about what a transformational approach to supporting families versus, you know, I just feel like the word advocate is exactly what you guys are. I think it's a perfect description of when you imagine, you know, people hanging out and trying to figure out just even how to play with their kids and having somebody that's literally there, not saying, stop, don't do that. You know, that's not right. But literally saying like, have you tried this? And have you thought about it through this lens? Or let's, you know, read this book. Or, you know, it just is, it's so heartwarming to hear. And I wish we could see literally the trajectory of what that looks like for these kids and families because of the work you're doing. And I love talking about how, you know, a police officer comes in and is working his way through the sensory path, just having that experience. It's just, you're serving far more than just the kid that you're assigned to or the family you're assigned to. And you're really serving the community. And it's just really beautiful to hear about. So speaking of that, do you have a favorite story of that you've seen come to life or two, or I'm sure you have a lot of them, but is there a story you'd be willing to share with us of how you've seen
work? I think one is from a recent case that closed, and you know, it was a situation where it was a mom who was raising the child, and the child had been removed from her, and she was not sure who the father of the child was. And so our advocate went and did some detective work and kind of followed up on some of the possibilities and located a gentleman who, you know, felt like, yes, it was possible that this child was his. And they did some DNA testing and the child was his. And the child was not in a situation where she was going to be returned to the mother. But the father had absolutely no connection with her. And so that was really the building of connection between really a stranger to this child and the parent. And we did that in all sorts of creative ways. The father worked 12-hour shifts. And we would do it over Zoom. We would meet here in the evenings with him. Anything we asked him to watch or do, he was willing to do and really just embraced it and really built a connection with that child. So when the case was coming to its conclusion, it was a very natural end to the case because everybody felt good about where the child was going. And the father felt like he was set up to be successful. That's a recent positive story.
Is that the story that we saw the video on?
Is that
available to the public?
It is. It's on our website. But I'm happy to send you the link too if you want to attach it to this podcast.
Absolutely. It is really powerful. I encourage all of our listeners to go and watch it because it is just a beautiful, beautiful story. I'm so glad that's the one you told. So we'll make sure to link that and any other resources that you've mentioned in the show notes of the podcast so people can find it there. Thank you for being here today and thank you for sharing. This has been so insightful to me about, you know, organizational implementation and what that looks like. And then just, I've learned a lot about CASA. So Anne-Marie, thank you for being here and sharing with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Tremendous privilege.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.